Romans chapter 12, and we're going to deal tonight with the gift of mercy. This is the last of the spiritual gifts that deal with speaking and service. And so we're going to launch out into the study of the sign gifts beginning next Sunday night. The sign gifts are those, for example, like miracles, the gifts of healings, that's plural, gifts of healings, speaking in tongues and interpretation of tongues. And those are some important subjects that you'll want to be a part of hearing about. And so we'll launch into those next Sunday night. We'll take one sermon on each, except speaking in tongues, in which I will probably take two sermons because it is such a volatile issue today and I want us to understand it very, very clearly. So this is the last of those gifts, and this is a gift of service, and we've dealt with the gifts of speaking, and then we'll deal with the sign gifts beginning next Sunday night. All right, Romans chapter 12 and verse 8, you see in the latter part of that verse this gift identified. He says that he who shows mercy, let him do so with cheerfulness, with cheerfulness. I have not left this gift to the last simply because I think it is the most unimportant of the gifts. I've left it to the end simply because I think it is one of the most important gifts. And I think it is one of the gifts which God gives very liberally in the life of the church. It is the gift that I think for many of us, we like to have these kind of people around us. They are people that will make us feel better, people that will be very attentive to our needs, and people who are oriented to being sensitized to what's going on in our lives. And so it is one of those important gifts that really, I think, helps the harmony and the fellowship of the life of the church, because it is a gift that is exercised in meeting people's needs. And whatever we want to say about it, the truth is that many of us find ourselves happy and exhilarated in a church family that is need-oriented, that is based on helping to meet needs within our lives. And so people with a gift of mercy, because of the definition of this gift and because of the tone of this gift, are the kinds of people that are very instrumental in keeping the harmony and the joy and the fellowship of the body of Christ alive and vibrant and need-oriented. Meeting needs is fundamental to the subject or to the gift of mercy, or showing mercy. So let me define it. And I'm going to use three very important concepts in the definition of the gift of mercy. The gift of mercy is the God-given ability to show compassion that is oriented toward feeling, to show compassion for the misery of others. Now, misery can take on many different connotations. The God-given ability to show compassion for the misery of others and to relieve the problem, that's action-oriented, to relieve the problem with a true attitude of cheerfulness. Let me say it again. The God-given ability to show compassion for the misery of others and to relieve the problem with a true attitude of cheerfulness. Now, I've really identified three very important concepts. Number one, and we'll come back and deal with these later on, but one who has the gift of mercy is feeling-oriented, they are action-oriented, and they are attitude-oriented. And one who has the gift of mercy really has an interplaying of these three ideas or these three concepts, that of feeling, that of action, and that of attitude. And all three of them go together in making this gift what it is. They go together in moving in the person's heart and in that person's life. And these three concepts are all a part of that person really being to the body what God has created them to be and what God has gifted them to be. One who simply is feeling-oriented is not necessarily one who has the gift of mercy. One who is only action-oriented may be one who has the gift of help or the gift of service. One who is feeling-oriented may be one who has the gift of exhortation. That is, they feel what you say to them. They feel your hurts. They feel your needs. But all they're going to do is tell you how to solve them. They're not going to roll up their sleeves and get involved in helping you solve your problem. And one who has an attitude of cheerfulness may be one who has the gift of giving because they give with hilarity. They may be one who simply has a good thyroid that makes them feel good. You know, all kinds of things go into that attitude orientation. They may be a person who is very positive about life, but they may not have the gift of mercy. All three of those concepts are fundamental to the gift of mercy. And when they are applicable in your life, it probably indicates that you have the gift of mercy in your life. Now let's look at the biblical background, and we'll see it, I think, a little more clearly as we see what this gift is all about from a biblical basis. First of all, what does the word itself mean? It is eleos in the Greek, for whatever that means, but it is a very important word that is used throughout the Word of God. In fact, I can tell you that this word is identified with the character of God over and over again in the Word of God. In the Old Testament, you'll hear the psalmist saying that God is a God of mercy. And when you come to the New Testament, you'll hear the New Testament writers say how thankful they are that they serve a God who is a God of mercy. That is, a God who shows compassion, a God who has loving kindness, a God who extends Himself always from the attitude of mercifulness. And so what does that word mercy mean? Some would translate it like this. It means to show mercy, or it means to show compassion. I really like the word compassion. Some of you will find in translations of the Bible that you'll find times when this word mercy is used that it is sometimes translated as pity, to show pity. I really don't like that word, and I'll tell you why. In our day and time, to show pity really has the idea of walking up to somebody, looking at them in the midst of their mess, or their problems, or their hurts, or their needs, and saying, "Oh, what a shame. I mean, I'm really sorry that you broke your leg." Or the attitude, "You know, I really am sorry that you're having such financial problems. I'll tell you what, I'll pray about that for you. You know, I really feel pity on you because of all the circumstances in your life. You have a mean husband, and I understand that, and I feel pity on you because you have a mean husband." Now, none of you could say that, but some people could. But you see, that's just simply saying, "What a shame." It doesn't give the idea of doing anything about it. Doesn't give the idea sometimes even of feeling for that person. All it really identifies is the concept of saying, "My, I'm really sorry that you have a problem." And the idea of pity to me is a negative thing in the American society in which we live and the connotation of that English word. So I don't like that word. But I'll tell you a word I really like to translate this word mercy is the word compassion. You see, it's the joining of two words, com meaning with, and passion meaning desire. The idea of an attitude of action, of burning desire, with desire. I want to meet your need. And so I think it's a good translating of that word. But to really get the concept, you have to do more than translate it, you have to define it. And I want to use a definition given by Thayer, who was a great Greek scholar of days past and put together probably one of the finest Greek lexicons, that is a Greek dictionary, that has been used for a lot of years in the seminaries, still is used by many. Here's what he says compassion is. It is to feel sympathy with the misery of another, especially such sympathy which manifests itself in act less frequently in word. Did you hear that? The idea of feeling sympathy, what does that mean? Well, I feel with you. I know what you're feeling. I can get inside of you. I can get in touch with your feelings. I know the hurts you're going through. But notice what he said, very importantly. It expresses itself with action and less frequently with word. That is, mercy from the biblical context and showing mercy is the attitude of getting involved in somebody's life and becoming active in solving the problems that they face in life. Now, that's a long way from the idea of pity. A long way from the idea of just saying, man, I see what's going on in your life and I really hate it. Doesn't cost much to do that, does it? I can stand back and listen to you tell me problems all day long. And if I don't want to get involved in those problems, it doesn't bother me one bit. I can just listen to them and say, that's really a problem. But it really doesn't cost me anything. You can do the same thing. But a person with the gift of mercy is action-oriented. They're a person that wants to move, to identify feelings, but beyond the feelings, wants to get involved in solving the problem. It is less frequently expressed in words, more often expressed in action. Now, I want us to look in the Word of God and want us to see this Word identified and the activity of it. Turn, first of all, to Matthew chapter 9. The Gospel of Matthew in chapter 9. And I want you to see mercy first as a feeling. Now remember, you don't stop with just feeling, but I want you to see it as a feeling. Identified in the life of Jesus as he looked at the crowds and saw them where they were. For you see, a person with a gift of mercy is one who sees people like they really are. They don't gloss over things. They don't try to excuse things. They don't try to talk themselves out of what they see. They don't try to rationalize why a person is in the situation they're in. They simply are able to perceive the hurt in another person's life and see it very, very clearly. It is exemplified in the life of Jesus. Look what he says in verse 35 of chapter 9. He says, "And Jesus was going about all the cities and villages, teaching them in their synagogues, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness." But then look at verse 36. Here is a person that has the gift of mercy. Obviously, Jesus had all the gifts. But here's an identification of it. He says, "And seeing the multitudes." Now, when that word "seeing" is used, he's not talking about, "I just see people out there." It's not the idea like me standing up here tonight and just looking out and seeing faces, but not really seeing eyes, not really seeing personalities, not really seeing where you are and what's going on in your life. But he means when he saw the multitudes, he really saw them. The marvelous thing about a person with mercy is they can walk into a room and they don't just simply see faces. Man, they can walk into a room and before it's over with, 9 times out of 10, they can identify for you the problems that are going on in individuals' lives. They can just sense it. They know where their hurts are, and they can sense somebody that has great burden on their life and has problems. And the rest of us who don't have that gift really don't see anything. We're having a good time, we're laughing, we're enjoying ourselves, and just oblivious to the hurts that are going on in other people's lives. But a person with the gift of mercy really sees people. Here's what Jesus saw. It says that he felt compassion. There's that word again. He felt compassion for them because he saw them as people who were distressed and who were downcast like sheep without a shepherd. Distressed. That is, they were a people that were oppressed. People that were struggling in life. People that were hurting in life. They were downcast. They were on the bottom. They were in the pits. And Jesus saw them exactly like they are. Now, if you have the gift of mercy, you have an eye and an ear that is attentive to those people who are hurting around you. You really, really see people. That's why I said a moment ago, boy, these are people you want everywhere in the church. They're the kinds of people that move in and out of the circles of the church, and they can identify and meet more needs in 5 minutes than the rest of us can meet or identify in a year. Because it's not because we are harsh or unfeeling or because we don't love people. And certainly, with all the gifts, we need to learn from those who have the gifts how we can be more sensitive to the things they know and the things that God has supernaturally gifted them with. But oh, listen, these people are able to really see people where they are. And they're so vitally important to the body because they pick up on things. They have an extrasensory perception that is Holy Spirit inspired in their life and given to them to really see where people are and to know where their hurts are. Jesus saw them. He had a feeling with them, a compassion for them. Then I want you to see the gift of mercy as an action. And I want you to turn to the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke, and chapter 10. I really don't think that anywhere in God's Word there's a better example of the gift of mercy than is found in this particular place in God's Word. I want you to look at verse 37. It's the end of the story. But I simply want to use that as an idea of helping you to see that I'm using this as an example based on what the Word of God says about it. He says, "And he said to them," speaking of the story of the Good Samaritan, "he said to them, the one who showed mercy toward him." That is, they asked the question, "Which of the three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell into the robber's hands?" And then Jesus said, "It was the one who showed mercy to them," or to him. And Jesus said to them, "You go and do exactly the same." Now, what about this story? What does it teach us about the gift of mercy? How does it identify? Well, I think it simply says that a person who has the gift of mercy is one who is sensitive to the physical needs of those around them. You see, if you're a person who is halfway mature spiritually, you can see people's needs spiritually and identify them and help to meet them. But a person with a gift of mercy is a person who is very able, very spiritually alert to the physical needs of people. The story of the Good Samaritan identifies that very clearly. I think it's one of the most fascinating, one of the most enlightening and exciting stories to be found in God's Word. I love it. You see, it's a story about a man who was beaten up by robbers and who was thrown by the side of the road, beaten and naked. They had robbed him of everything. And the story goes that the religious people came one by one by that man, and they had pity on him. I used to tell this in the context to young people. It was sort of like the story, you know, that the preacher came roaring by, and he's in his nice car, and he threw on his brakes, and he looked out, and he saw the guy, and he said, "Boy, you know, that's a shame. That guy's all beaten up. I really hate that. But the truth is, I can't preach with blood all over me, and if I go out and get him, I'm going to get blood all over my clothes. And besides that, I've got to be at a deacon's meeting tonight. I don't have time to fool with this guy, but I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll go back to the church, and I'll call him up, and I'll call the ambulance, and I'll tell him there's a guy beaten up on the side of the road. You guys need to go out there and take care of him." And then the deacon comes by. He's on the way to the same deacon's meeting. And he says, "Man, this guy is in real trouble, but I can't put him in my Cadillac." Every deacon's got a Cadillac, right? Amen? "I can't put him in my Cadillac. It'll get blood all over the seat covers, and I've only had this thing for a week. I don't want to get my car messed up. And besides that, that preacher is a mean rascal. If I'm late for deacon's meeting, he'll look at me mean, and the rest of them will be praying for me because I was late to deacon's meeting." And then along comes this beat-up little Volkswagen van with flowers all over it. And this long-haired, bearded guy crawls out, goes over, sees the man by the side of the road, picks him up. It won't matter putting him in that old beat-up Volkswagen. Puts him in his car, in his van, takes him to the hospital, gets treatment, pays the bill, and leaves. Jesus said, "Which one showed mercy?" You see, a person with the gift of mercy is never too busy to meet somebody's need. A person with the gift of mercy is not satisfied to go to the church and pray for a person who's hurting. You know what James says? James says in his letter, he said, "Don't go to the church and pray for somebody if you're not willing to get involved in meeting their needs." And to put it in the context of what some of us could identify with, this story of the Good Samaritan also says that a person with a gift of mercy really doesn't care who that other person is that is in need. They may be a person who's not like us. They may be a person that is a different race or a different creed. They may be somebody who even hates us. Because you see, the story is the truth that a Jew hated a Samaritan and a Samaritan hated a Jew. And yet the Samaritan stopped and took care of the need of a Jew who was hurting. A person with the gift of mercy doesn't care what the person looks like, doesn't care how mean the person has been, really doesn't care what the problems may have been. All they know is somebody is hurting and they are responsible to meet that person's needs. And the person with the gift of mercy really doesn't care how much they have to extend themselves, how much they have to give themselves, nor how much it costs them to meet that need. They simply want to help alleviate somebody's hurt. You can't have the gift of mercy and not be willing to roll up your sleeves and dive in and get yourself dirty trying to help somebody. But a person with that gift of mercy says, I'll meet physical needs, and it doesn't make me any difference the problems that I may encounter. And I want to tell you something about that person. The reality is, a person with the gift of mercy, and if you have that gift, I want to really speak to you at this point. The person with the gift of mercy probably opens more doors for the sharing of the gospel than any other gift that I know of. Any other gift that I know of that's recorded in God's Word. You know why? Don't you know that good Samaritan had the ear of that poor old fellow that he patched up? Don't you know that guy came out of that hospital saying, man, I don't know who has ministered to my needs. I don't know who was kind enough to take care of me, but I sure wish I could find that person. I just want to thank them. I want to tell them what they meant in my life. Don't you know whenever you are willing to roll up your sleeves as one who has the gift of mercy, you're sensitive to the hurts of somebody and you listen to them? And when they share their hurts with you, and then you get involved in helping to meet their needs and to solve the problems of their life, and when you roll up your sleeves and walk beside them through troubled waters, don't you know you have that person's ear? You have that person's life. They're willing to listen to you, and you have an open door many, many times to share the gospel with them. I'm telling you, you have the gift of mercy. You better learn how to witness. Because God's going to open door after door after door for you, simply because you are sensitive to somebody else's needs. Let me ask you a question. Think back when you were in time of trouble. It may have been a time that somebody was dying in your family. It may have been a time when somebody was seriously sick. It may have been a time whenever you were up to your ears in other kinds of problems. Think about the person that was beside you in those times. Think about the person that listened to you pour out your heart when you were struggling to keep your sanity. Think about that person that really ministered to you. And then answer this question. Doesn't that person that ministered to you in that time of your greatest hurt, wouldn't you sit down and let them speak to you about most anything in life? Wouldn't you? That person that was willing to crawl down in the mud hole and help get you out, don't you know that you're willing to let them talk to you about most anything? Friend, if you've got the gift of mercy, you better find out how to share your faith. You better find out how to do it in a way that is communicative to somebody's life, because God's going to open door after door after door for you to be able to tell the good news. I really think this gift probably opens more doors the sharing of the gospel than any of the other gifts, simply because it meets people's needs. In connotation with that, I want you to turn to Jude, the book of Jude. That's right before the book of Revelation. The book of Jude. It's on page 371 in my Bible. The book of Jude. And I want you to look in verse 22. You see, the gift of mercy is not only physical oriented, that is, in meeting physical needs, but is also spiritually oriented. It is aimed at meeting spiritual needs. Paul said, for example, that we are to bear one another's burdens. That's a responsibility of all of us, and especially of those who have the gift of mercy. But then in this particular passage, he says this, and have mercy on some who are doubting. Save others, snatching them out of the fire, and on some have mercy with fear, hating even the garment polluted by the flesh." You see, Jude is saying to us, to all of us, but particularly those with the gift of mercy, that you have a responsibility because of the supernatural gift that God has placed in your life, that you have a responsibility of snatching some of those out of the very grips of hell, those who are wavering, those who are doubting, those who are frustrating to the rest of us, because of your gift of mercy, because of your understanding their hurts, because of your understanding of their struggles in life, you will have the responsibility and the privilege of reaching out and lifting some of those people who are about to go down the tube, out of the tube, and stand them on solid ground, even hating the sins that they're involved in. I have found, I don't have the gift of mercy, and I've tried to learn from those that do. But as a prophet, so oftentimes I am too prone to just simply be impatient with people. I want to tell them, this is what the Word of God says, now you ought to do it. And when they don't do it, I tend to be impatient with them. And I tend to just sort of, well, all right, if you don't want to be obedient to the Word, that's just your tough luck, brother. I don't have time to waste with you. Now, I hope I'm learning not to be that way, but I'm just honest as one who has the gift of prophecy, and some of you know what I mean because you have the same gift. If a person isn't willing to be obedient to the Word of God, you just want to move on. But a person with a gift of mercy isn't like that. They're willing to see that person fall, and they'll pick them back up. They'll go two or three steps further, they'll fall again. They'll reach down and pick them back up. Sometimes they'll fall in a pit so low they have to crawl down and lift them out of it. But you see, God says that a person with a gift of mercy is one who is willing to do just that, and in doing so is able to lift somebody out of their sinfulness and out of the mucky mire of what sin can do in a life, to go along with them, hating what they do and yet loving them, until they come to the point of maturing. Boy, a person with a gift of mercy is so important to those new Christians who have been pulled out of sin and brought into the glorious light, and yet now is learning what it means in those first few toddling steps of being a Christian, falling and failing, and yet here comes that person with a gift of mercy loving them into maturity. Listen, if you've got the gift of mercy, I've said it over and over again, I say it again, you are vitally important to the growth of the body of Christ because you have the ability to be redemptive. And then last, I want you to see Romans 12 and verse 8. Romans 12 and verse 8, the verse we read a moment ago. Not only is mercy a feeling, not only is it an action, but it's an attitude. He says, let the one who show mercy do it with cheerfulness. That's the same word that we read earlier this morning when we talked about giving. It's the word hilarious. It doesn't mean hee-haw, but it does mean doing it with a light heart, with a cheerful heart. A person with a gift of mercy is able to meet dire needs in a person's life, able to get on with them in the midst of their struggles and trials, able to weep with them, but at the same time to do it with a lightness of heart. A person with a gift of mercy does not go in with an attitude of gloom and doom. When a person's in sin, they don't go in and say, oh my, God's going to strike you dead with lightning and you stay like that. Nor do they go into a person who's in the hospital and who is having some dire physical problems and say, oh me. I knew a person that died of that same thing just last week. You ever had that? They don't do that. Because they know what you're feeling. They know where you are. A person with a gift of mercy does it with a hilarious heart, that is, with a light heart. And I'll tell you why. They know that it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by my Spirit, says the Lord. And they know that whatever needs you have, whether it is spiritual, whether it is physical or financial, or some other problem, That person with the gift of mercy is one who comes in with a light heart, who says, I understand where you are, but oh, let me tell you something. There's a God who is still on His throne. There's a God who is able to meet every need that you have. There's a God who is able to lift you out of the miry clay and who is able to set you on solid rock. There is a God who is still great and hadn't failed yet. So a person with the gift of mercy just lifts you up and encourages you. They don't put you down. They don't tell you all the gloom and doom. You see, some of us who don't have that gift, whenever we see somebody that's hurting, we just get all burdened about it. And it just almost depresses us. But a person with the gift of mercy says, boy, it is bad, but I'm going to roll up my sleeves, get in there and help you see how you can get out of this. And more than that, I'm going to point you to Jesus. Because He's the solution to your problem. Mercy is an attitude. Well, let's give practical application to it. I can only touch on it. Time is gone, and I'll quit. But let me give you some practical ways in which you can put this gift of mercy into action. You have a gift of mercy. I think you ought to be involved in one of many of these, and they're not exhaustive, but there are some, six, that I want to identify. I think very especially you're the kind of person that can be involved in ministry in a nursing home. You're the kind of person that everybody wants to see in the hospital. And I'm serious about that. You have the gift of mercy. You ought to get involved in the hospital ministry of our church, going and visiting those who are sick and need encouragement and who can have somebody who really knows where they are and what they're feeling. The homebound ministry is another place where a person with the gift of ministry can readily find an outlet for the gift that God has given them. Also, a person who has this gift can get involved in a prison ministry. You have the gift of mercy. You don't go in and condemn the prisoners. You go in and say, man, you're in a bad situation, but let me help you to lift your eyeballs and look to God who can deliver you. I think also that a person with this gift can get involved in handicapped ministry. I think particularly of one of the ministries I hope we can start, and that is down the road, be able to minister to those who are mentally handicapped. Paul and I had the joy of working at First Church New Orleans while we were there with the mentally handicapped. It's a blessed ministry. I tell you, it can just give you joy unspeakable to work with those folks. And a person with a gift of mercy is one who gets involved in that and who is not tense around people who have those kinds of needs, feels very comfortable with them, and is able to minister to them. And I also think that this is a gift that you, if you have, you ought to get involved in ministry to the poor. Now the tendencies. A person with a gift of mercy is cheerful, non-condemning, compassionate, and sensitive to the distresses of others. They are quick to respond to others' needs for help. They tend to attract those who have inward struggles because he or she is sympathetic, conveying an air of understanding. If you have a gift of mercy, people normally tend to get around you because you have that gift. One of the problems with this gift is they often lack firmness and decisiveness since he or she is so sensitive toward possibly offending others. That is, they're not going to take a hard line many times because they're afraid they're going to hurt you. And they'd rather suffer some of the consequences themselves than to hurt you. And sometimes that's a problem. Sometimes that's not a good characteristic. And a person with this gift resents others who are not as sensitive as he or she is to personal needs. You know the two people that normally have the greatest problem? The person with the gift of mercy and the person who has the gift of prophecy. They normally bump heads because they take different views of things. Prophet's more hard-nosed, and the person with the gift of mercy tends to be less hard-nosed, and they collide because they are at different ends of the spectrum. The beautiful thing is both of them are needed in the body to make the body function properly. Well, that's the gift of mercy. It's an important gift, one which I know that God has given liberally within His church. And those of you who have that gift really ought to rise to the surface. You are vitally important to the life of the New Testament church. Well, I want to give an invitation as we close tonight. as I have spoken to God's family and tried to instruct and inspire them to find their gift, if this is their gift, and help them to understand others who have this gift, I want to speak to those of you that are here tonight without Jesus Christ. If you've never trusted Christ as Lord and Savior, we're going to give you an opportunity tonight to simply step out from where you are and come forward. Give one of our pastors a hand and just say to them, I want Jesus in my life. I need forgiveness of sin. I need to have the life of God in my life. I understand I'm dead in trespasses and sin, but I want Jesus to make me alive in Him. I want to know what it means to be a child of the King. And I'm going to ask you to do that tonight. Others of you are here and God's led you to this church. This is the place where you need to serve. And God's calling you to come and put your life in this ministry. And so I'm going to ask you to step forward and just simply say to them, I want to be a part of this church. I want to move my letter. I want to come for baptism. I want to say, I'm going to be on God's side in this place. I want to serve through this local church. Those are decisions I call you to tonight. Whatever God's leading you to do, we're going to ask you to do it quickly as we give the invitation for you to respond. Will you stand with your heads bowed?